Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Excuse me.
Oh, I know the torment you must be going through. But to spend your whole life searching for your people, only to discover that they're the leaders of that awful dominion.
You heard about that?
Odo, don't worry. I'm here to help you.
What kind of help do you mean?
Oh, a sympathetic ear, a shoulder to cry on, a lap to melt in.
Now, that's very considerate of you, but unnecessary. My people are who they are. I am who I am. I've learned to accept that.
You brave soul. Oh, why don't we go someplace quiet, and you can tell me all about it?
Actually, I was planning to attend the opening of the Gratitude Festival this afternoon.
Oh, well, even better. First, a little fun and relaxation, and then we can delve into the depths of your pain. I'll freshen up and meet you in front of the Bajoran Temple for the presider's opening address. I promise you, Odo, you'll never be alone again.
Why, hello out there.
Hi.
Dan, I saw your finger move.
I know.
Move to the screen.
I paused.
No, because my screen went dark and I didn't want it to turn off.
Oh,
that's why.
We don't want a dark screen.
We don't want that.
We would never want a dark screen.
It's got Star Trek.
Thank you.
Whoa!
Thank you, Jesse.
Whoa!
Thank you for keeping us on track. Yes. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
Coverage of FIFA 2026.
Hi.
FIFA stands for, what does it stand
hydration
for?
Break. Hydration
Soccer.
Break. Hydration
well,
break.
I do enjoy the fact that so many Europeans were saying it's bullshit that the U.S. FIFA is introducing hydration break. They just want to make money on commercials. And then the people showed up in America and in fucking Texas and shit. And they were like, okay, all right. Hydration break maybe makes sense. A lot of the United States,
gotta,
for folks who haven't been here, is an unlivable wasteland.
It's a desert, baby.
That through the sheer arrogance
or a jungle.
Of humanity, we've drained swamps and built extra swamps and built cities where there oughtn't be cities.
Nah.
The hubris of mankind.
Places that should never be.
Is on
full
display.
Well, the whole point, the whole thing of soccer Phoenix. Is like they're all about not stopping play.
Exactly. So. I get it. I get where they're coming from. And frankly, I would have agreed with them to some degree, except for I have been enjoying all the YouTube videos of people coming from Scotland being like, I thought I was just going to walk the 3 miles from the hotel to the stadium. And like halfway through, I was like the ambulance came to pick my ass up.
I had to change my clothes.
For trying to walk through fucking Dallas, Texas, and goddamn June. Come on.
Is that where they're having it in Texas?
It's all over.
That's ridiculous.
They're having it all over is
all
the point.
Over.
So there's places where it's not so hot, but you know, Miami, Florida.
Why can't they just have
one
it
of the
like
locations.
In, like New York or something?
I think they have some in New York, maybe. I don't know. I don't really.
You tell them, Benjamin.
Follow this business. All right. Let's get going here. Hello and welcome
you
to
mean that?
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hey! I didn't expect to find you here.
And this week on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
This week on the It's Got Star Trek Boogers.
I can't quite tell if, Dan's just being playful or mocking.
Or perhaps just a handful.
But this week on It's Got Star Trek, the 344th episode of It's Got Star Trek, as it happens.
Slow down.
We will be discussing the episode titled, it's one of those one-word titles that later Star Trek is fond of, but Deep Space Nine didn't always do this, but in this case, Deep Space Nine...
I can hardly wait.
Deep Space Nine decided to title this third season episode Fascination.
I thought you'd be down on the promenade helping Marta put up the decorations for the Bajoran Gratitude Festival.
Mm-hmm. This is a funny episode.
I enjoyed that delivery by Avery Brooks as well.
Sisko to Bashir.
To Bashir. Sisko to Bashir.
He directed
He says that
he
a couple...
He did. Jesse, you're right. Avery Brooks directed this episode, and I think directed
well,
it...
Oh, I got one.
Directed it well.
A couple times, like...
Well.
Here he goes.
Sisko to Bashir.
A couple times in this episode, he says, Sisko to Bashir. Yeah. He says, Bashir.
Yeah, he does that from
he
time
goes,
to time.
Bashir. Mm-hmm. You know? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear it. What you are saying, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the implication
I know what you're saying
is that he's pronouncing the last name Bashir in a different way than he and other people often pronounce it.
That, I didn't say that.
I mean, but that is what you were suggesting, is it not? He's looking for a response clip.
No.
We have to welcome Dan back, of course.
What you're feeling now is just a crush.
just a crush.
Just a crazy idea.
Just a crazy idea.
He went to North Kakalaki.
It's just a crazy idea.
Dan was on vacation
North Kakalaki
last week. But we did want to provide you some content.
North Kakalaki.
So
it's from like an earlier. North Kakalaki.
Now, okay, here, Dan. Here's a question for you.
Kakalaki.
Do you think Jesse's just going to keep saying North Kakalaki until I acknowledge that he said North Kakalaki?
Ooh, yeah.
All right. Okay.
He did. You're playing a recording of me saying that. I don't keep saying North Kakalaki. That's the same recording.
So
Granya.
All right. So earlier I had asked Dan if he listened to the last week's episode that Jesse and I put together, and Dan said he did listen, and I believed him. But
I believed him.
He's now provided some additional evidence. Evidence. There we go. That he did indeed listen to that episode.
Well, now, you holding?
Now, here's the thing. For regular...
Befoist.
Okay, I'm enjoying...
Pushkin.
I'm enjoying
Hippocras.
Canar.
Romulan ale.
Eggs are part of things.
Evidence.
So Jesse and I were not aware that Dan was coming. Gonna.
I had no idea.
Attack us with our own clips.
Pretty awesome.
Very well done, Dan.
Let's see how gross this is.
Yeah.
What I was attempting to get at before Dan threw me.
Vulcans had green.
Completely off track. Was that
doesn't sound so bad.
I think I should put like an echo on Dan's sound thing so he can be like, this is one of them extra sound clips.
Are we gonna talk about blood wine?
So okay.
Bloodline.
Dan
Vulcans had green blood.
Dan was on vacation last week, but Jesse and I still want to do a podcast. But Dan's out.
Those guys.
Dan's algorithm had suggested that the next episode we discuss should be Fascination. However, Jesse and I agreed that we wouldn't want to discuss Fascination in particular without Dan. We wanted his sound clips. We wanted his opinion.
We got to have all the bits.
It's a fun.
Dan's not here. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
Fun episode. So we were like, let's just do some general topic. We thought we'd figure it out later. And we came up with the idea of talking about...
Right the day before we came up with the idea.
We said, how about we talk about drinks in Star Trek, you know, alcohol in Star Trek, and we had...
North Kakalaki.
We had some thoughts about, you know, it would be fun to have this conversation. Now, the unfortunate thing is Jesse and I... Jesse and I also use this as an excuse. We made the same error we've made in the past.
Eggs are part of things.
we use this as an excuse to also have drinks during the podcast.
That Voyager one.
Yeah, so a long time ago, Dan was out of town or something. So
it was like St. Patrick's Day.
So Jesse and I, for St. Patrick's Day, Jesse and I.
When you poo, does your butt go poop poo?
So Jesse and I discussed poo-poo Fairhaven, Voyager's Fairhaven and Spirit Folk. We did that for St. Patrick's Day, and we drank a bunch of Irish whiskey and got very drunk. It's a silly
story. I'm going to fucking drink whatever.
we drank a lot. But that was like very structured.
And there was like a sound of, like, you had like a sound of like a pub in the background.
Yeah, we had a British pub. Pub sounds. Pub ambient sound in the background.
It was pretty tight.
Very well produced. Last week's episode went completely off the rails. And I was going to make the point that, and I think the point has unfortunately been somewhat undermined, because the point I was going to make is that I think sometimes some listeners get the impression that Dan is the goofy, chaotic fella, and that somehow Jesse and I are the more serious and sober-minded people. But when
he's the structure.
But when Dan's away, you can see exactly what happens. Go listen to last week's episode. It's a catastrophe. Dan is the one who keeps us in line. Dan's the one who points out that we ought to start the episode or take a break or whatever.
It was actually kind of difficult to find like isolated sounds, because like someone would be ending a word as someone was starting a word. There was a lot of little overlaps here. Yeah. There was no space between words a lot of the time.
It was magical.
I mean, I thought it was entertaining. But
I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it made it difficult to pull sounds. It wasn't a criticism.
And I thought there was a few points in there, and as Dan noted, you got some good audio clips of me. Was it me saying Kranya? And then there's
Kranya.
So stupid.
Well, here's okay. Listen to this. Hold on a sec. This is. I think I'm gonna try and play them back to back because I split this into two. But all it goes like. Wait! Stop laughing. You gotta stop laughing. Did you hear that? Listen to that thumping. What was that thumping before you went to break?
It's probably like Jesse falling over or some shit.
By the way, I told you guys to stop laughing, and it was actually the sound that was laughing.
That's my bad. I was like, I'm not laughing.
Yeah, I know. That was my bad. I don't know what that thumping was, but
I think
a rustling.
I think it's Jesse and or I taking our headphones off and hanging them on the microphone.
Oh.
I think we could simulate that right now. Like if I was like,
okay, that's probably it. Question. Can you name this part of what you were talking about in this part?
Used a fur. Was it about using fur? They used it for. Oh, I got a little Virginie.
A little bit, yeah.
Used a fur.
It's like a two before.
They used a fur, let me tell you. They used it for. I'll tell you, when you're on, you're coming from Virginia, and if you're driving down to North Kakalaki, you know you're in North Kakalaki because the road turns from asphalt into some sort of concrete nonsense.
Yes,
and that's for real.
It starts making a sound.
Yeah,
is this part
when you're working on a show as you're going around town and digging through dumpsters and stuff, or going to antique stores, you'll see something, you'll be like, yeah, that looks something we might be able to use in the background at some point in the future.
Right.
And so they got, you know, one or two, whatever, a couple of these weird looking bottles because they looked weird in sci-fi. They used it for the Sorian brandy. But then as it turned out, as the show went on and there we go.
Sorian brandy.
Yeah.
I have a couple more questions.
You have more questions. Yeah. Dan's questions. No, that's fine. I mean, we have some emails and we have
episodes
to discuss. No, I want to answer these questions.
Okay,
we are capable of doing so.
Do you know what this part's from?
That's from Jesse. On every episode of It's Got Star Trek.
Okay, here's another part of it.
Poop, 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 poo. Poop, 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 poo. Poop, 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 poo.
Here's another part.
Poop, poop, poo. Poop, poo. Poop, poop, poo. Poop, 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 poo. Poop, 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 poo.
We were jamming on something.
Yeah. And we're back! With no sound effects! We have to go...
We made our own sound effect.
Is that a sound effect if I just say poo-poo?
That was coming back from break.
We were all confused.
Yeah, we didn't have any Chief O'Brien's or Milana's on it.
Yeah,
or,
we had to say them all.
I'm not jokingly.
Milana's on it.
Chief O'Brien?
I'm not jokingly.
How about this one?
Cleverer...
Holograms.
Cleverer. I mean, that sounds like something.
Okay. Do you remember what you were talking about?
Cleverer. I was about to try to equivocate, but absolutely not. I do not remember what that's from. It's like
from the 80s.
Pre-Fox News, predicting Fox News in some ways, predicting some interesting stuff with science.
Dag, yo.
It's a cleverer film than you think, and it's also got the Doctor in it.
Now,
here's the thing that's funny.
You still don't know?
I'm thinking of like five different movies. That I'm like, wow. Okay, I must have been talking about Gremlins 2.
Yes.
But the first thing I thought, I was thinking of with like the Burbs or something. Mm. I can't remember.
It was in the Burbs too.
It was Gremlins 2. How about this?
It's all thick
and goopy. Is that from the episode where we discussed Enterprise's Vox Sala and Captain Archer and Charles Trip Tucker the third get caught by the sentient semen?
No, but a good guess.
Sentient semen. That's another good name for a band.
It's all
sentient semen.
Yeah. This is all from last episode.
It's all thick.
It's all thick and goopy. Got to be talking about Kanar.
Reminds me of like mead or something.
Yeah, even though it's all like
it's all thick.
It's all thick and goopy. Oh. Do you like mead, Jesse? What's your view on mead?
I don't think I've had a little bit of mead.
Yeah.
And it's not something I want to have all the time.
Yep, it's about Kanar.
Kanar and mead. Yeah. That's what happens. All right. No,
it's just coffee and vodka.
$21
Gravated. What kind of vodka was it?
I like this one because Patrick keeps trying to describe this espresso martini and Jesse keeps like, Jesse's like,
gravated. What kind of vodka was it?
It's always three. I don't know.
There's no vermouth.
But the long and the short of it is I ordered this 21.
It's just coffee and vodka.
$21 vodka martini. I was aggravated.
What kind of vodka was it?
I couldn't tell you.
Was it like high dollar vodka?
Well,
it was just New York City.
That's the thing is I went into this being sort of annoyed and aggravated. So listen, I'm going to have you play that clip of Jesse in a second, but everyone pay attention to when Jesse is like asking what kind of vodka is it. He's asking it in the same way. Remember in I talked about in Star Trek 3 when we covered Star Trek 3 that Scotty sounded a little drunk when he was... you know, when they were trying to steal the Enterprise. I like how Jesse's all like, you're playing it.
You want me to start from the beginning?
No, just the Jesse clip.
Gravated. What kind of vodka was it?
Did you hear that? Yeah.
It's just coffee and vodka.
$21.
What kind of vodka was it?
I don't even remember that.
That
it
awesome.
Tastes like lizard spit.
All right, folks.
Where do I come up with this stuff?
You've been awesome.
It tastes like lizard spit.
You've had a thorough advertisement for listening to last week's episode.
Yeah, okay. For real.
In case you've missed it.
By the way, this was...
sounds awesome.
But I have to play this series.
It has that awesome bottle. Awesome bottle. 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 Bottle.
Bottle.
Bod bottle. Bod bottle. The Saurian brandy bod bottle.
You kept saying bottle.
Bottle.
Yeah.
Bottle. Bod bottle.
Beetle.
And here you almost said it normal and then you corrected yourself.
Bod bottle.
You said you were going to say bottle, but then you corrected it to bottle.
Yeah. Interesting.
May I have a wee bit more?
I thought that was live, Jesse.
Blew one out.
I was looking at Jesse and he was talking, but his face wasn't moving.
Blew one out. Purple blob. Blew one out. Blew one out. Purple blob. Blew one out.
They were all drinking. And McCoy is all like, powerful stuff that Ron.
And then
okay. We don't have to keep.
All right. No, that was bad. Thank you, Dan.
Are we going to talk about blood wine? Hogan's had green blood.
Dan has provided us with
we need some fucking alien mugs.
You holding
a gift.
Star Trek 2.
She's European.
You holding.
She's European.
It sounds like did you even go to fucking work this week, Dan? Did you just spend this whole time clipping up this episode? Because it was not a short episode.
She's European.
I thought Jesse and I were going to provide a short bonus episode just to give us some because we have this track record.
It turned
record.
Into a long episode, man.
For whatever, since 2019, not a week has gone by that we've not provided content. And Jesse and I were like, let's just throw some stuff together. And it was like, it went... What folks probably
did.
What folks probably don't know, and including Dan,
North Cackalacky.
So not only was the episode, you know, a little long. We did the normal three act structure that we do. We had two commercial breaks. What I think even Dan doesn't know, and frankly, Jesse may himself not remember. I think the first break we took was like 20 minutes, and I think the second break we took was like fucking like 45 minutes.
I remember that.
And then all of a sudden, Jesse's like, wait a second, don't we have to do like one more break? We were having like some really, really like interesting conversation about something because we were all toasty.
No,
it was, we finished and it was like really late, and I was like, I have to go home.
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation. I ended up actually replying to a few things. I know we got to move on, first I want to say the song that you play at the beginning of mine, remember, it's called Clown Festival.
Yes, Clown Festival. That's, composed by Dan.
Right. Jesse was talking about how Navy people like to drink. Yeah. And like, haven't you ever heard that song about what are you going to do with a drunken sailor?
Yeah.
That's like Navy people like to drink. And you can't drink flying a plane. But you can drink when you're driving
a boat.
People
do, though.
Yeah, you can drink when you're flying a boat.
But I'm saying
you oughtn't.
You shouldn't drink and boat, but people, it's probably easier than drinking and flying.
There are fewer boats.
Isn't a bog body poo poo? You're talking about bog bodies.
Bog bodies are not poo poo. They are accidentally mummified because
from like the Iron Age.
Yeah, bodies that have purposefully or otherwise been thrown into peat bogs that are anaerobic, so there is no bacteria to decompose the body, and the people find them and think they're recently murdered folks.
I resent the assumption that I was going to be frustrated by Jesse sneezing. I've never complained about Jesse sneezing. I have only marveled at it.
Okay. I mean, I was intoxicated, so I don't remember.
You made some faces.
I have made faces. Oh, also, Patrick, you were talking about how alcohol was not like a big deal to you because you were
European
drinking. I do think that works for some people, but on the flip side, I think there are a lot of alcoholics who begin their story with, I had my first drink at 10.
Oh, 100%. So, I think it's what the context was.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have the first drink.
Right.
And it was gross, like having a sip of champagne, right? And I think...
Yeah,
just saying it can go either way, depending on your relationship with
absolutely.
Like that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And
but it is true that like if you don't have a tendency towards alcoholism, you're probably better off starting a little earlier.
Yeah, or not. I mean,
Or at least being... Or not being like introduced to it all at once in a later... college all environment. At once.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, no joke. Unfortunately for a lot of people, it's like you show up at college first day and it's all at once. Here you go.
You were talking Louisiana. About the actor who played the guy in Fawlty Towers, the American Fawlty Towers, who was
He was in Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
And you guys never, and you never found his name.
And his name was Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah, you had like, Jesse was even looking it up and I couldn't believe it. You never found his name.
You know, I mean, Dan,
it's like
Dan,
right the fuck there
Dan,
on the internet.
Dan, I'm going to challenge that statement of I couldn't believe it. I know you're using that colloquially. I just want to stress that of course you could believe that Jesse and I, when we're drinking too much fucking booze, are going to do this. It wasn't a gag. I wanted him to look it up. Both of us were trying to look it up, but I kept forgetting.
It doesn't happen,
and then Jesse was looking at his phone for a long time, and I thought he must have looked it up. But I think what happened was
I got sidetracked.
I think you looked it up, but then like kept going. You know, like you went past the rabbit hole,
and then you just kind of gave up.
I went down like one of them.
Are you going to do us the favor of telling us the gentleman's name?
No, I didn't think to look it up. Oh.
Dag,
yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
Last thing, Florida, you said it was kind of offensive to name drinks hurricanes in Florida.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma, 7-Elevens are owned by like some different company or something, but they call their taquitos tornadoes.
That's right. Oh. You've mentioned that before. It's another thing that presumably is not considered offensive
and
by
Zima,
the locals.
Zima tastes like Sprite, and are they called Saurians because they're dinosaurians?
I think Jesse asked that.
The basketball team is the Thunder.
Flea was not a big fan of them. Flea likes Weird Al, but he was
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
He likes Weird Al, but he was not a fan of their cover.
Oh.
Which is odd because I actually quite like that. And it's a cover of two songs.
Yeah.
Because,
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, it's Weird Al. Weird Al is pretty great. But I didn't know that about Flea's.
And at one point, you guys said Tequila Sunrise was a tequila and OJ. And then later, you said it was tequila with simple syrup and Campari.
Well, that was the. just to clarify, because again, we might not have been
communicating
properly. At the time, we were complaining that the recipe for the Hibernian Starburst or whatever they called it, you know, that guy, the Guinan drink, that the online recipe, in addition to not being magical,
Hippocras.
It also was basically a tequila sunrise with the addition, I think, of Campari and something. I don't know. I can't remember.
Fulgens had green blood.
That green blood.
All right.
You should really keep using a lot of those. Those, I think, are good clips.
I'm a little jealous of Dan for two reasons. I mean, one, I've been jealous of Dan since I've known him for the skills he possesses.
He's a smooth,
That I do not. Envious. Let's say envious. Envy is a better term. I don't want to like kill Dan. I'm not angry at him for those skills. But also because he's done exactly what I've always wanted to do, but I've been too lazy to do, which is to pull out clips of people. I always thought it'd be great. You know, like for example,
Purple Blob, blooping out.
It's like if Dan's on vacation, wouldn't it be great if I just had a soundboard of Dan clips and then we could play Dan clips? That awesome.
Tastes like lizard spit.
Ooh, yeah. But Dan's beating us to it. That sounds like Boimler. Or no, not Boimler. That sounds like Rutherford. That's me doing an accidental.
It sounds like Rutherford. Eggs are part of things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had that whole egg conversation.
Oh, man.
Pushkin. All right.
Okay.
Well, we're almost up on a break.
Jeez, sorry. I took up so much time.
No,
hey,
it's
man,
just fine.
It's gold, baby.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Okay,
welcome.
Do we have emails or whatever?
All right. Well, we have two emails, but
our messages.
What we'll do is this. We'll do one email now, and then we'll come back from the break, and then we'll do the other email, and then start in earnest our discussion of Fascination.
But there was an interesting podcast. I enjoyed it, so good job, guys.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's good.
As you can see, I took the time. I took the time to pull that out.
That's,
yeah, really. Yeah. We do appreciate that.
There were some really funny bits.
All right, so this email... this is an email from a longtime listener, Steven, and it's in reference to our discussion of the Schizoid Man, which was a few weeks back. That's the last official episode we did. And Steven says, gentlemen, in your recent discussion of the Schizoid Man, you digressed a bit on the oddity of Ira Graves' casket having a window, or I guess you could say Graves' grave has a window. Smiley face, which actually is
Which actually is historically not that unusual. My first reaction was, I'm sure I've seen that elsewhere in Trek. Although my exploration of that rabbit hole suggests I was confusing it with cryogenic or stasis capsules, it did lead me to the auction site of Christie's. Oh. And everyone, if you don't know, Christie's is one of the world's sort of top auction houses. To the auction site of Christie's, which shows a 13-inch model for the prop. This prop, you know, referencing is Ira Graves' body being put in a Star Trek torpedo tube, but that had unusually had a window in it, right, so you could see his face.
Not like Spock.
And the prop was sold at Christie's in 2006 for $2,640.
Shit.
He's provided the link. I'll add that to the show notes. The text from Christie's also indicates that it was used for the probe used to transport Kalaer to the Enterprise in the episode The Emissary.
F.
And we talked about Susie Plaxton, who played the Vulcan doctor in the Schizoid Man, played Kalaer in The Emissary. But in that one, he notes there was no window. What seems to be the same capsule, Stephen goes on to note, is launched into space during funerals in two Voyager episodes. So I guess it's a standard issue body box for the era. It also looks suspiciously reminiscent of the $6 million man's bionic transport and repair station toy that I grew up with. Keep up the good work, Steve. Thank you, Steve, for...
Thanks, Agamus!
Hey, Steve.
All that information. Hey, I wish I knew more, like, prop lore, because every time I come across prop lore in Trek, it's usually interesting. We talked a little bit last week, apparently, about Kenar bottles and such.
Well, interesting, on eBay, you can get... I see a listing right here for, quote, authentic. We'll see. Authentic new Star Trek Ractigino blue mug, DS9 Replimat ceramic cup replica prop.
Which is exactly what I want.
I don't know what new Star Trek DS9 means. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but it's $179.
Yeah. Whoa.
Because we're stupid. Because fans are stupid.
But Etsy, you can get them on Etsy for like $25.
Okay. So. Well, you could.
Those aren't like, this is apparently a legitimate one, but how are you going to fucking know?
The fact that. Is that when you said it cost, what, $109?
$179.
My brain was like, I shouldn't pay that much, but yeah. I think I'd do that. I think it's reasonable.
Dude, I kind of want, and I always wondered, does the wide bottom, does the liquid go out in the wide part? Meaning that,
presumably.
So that makes it, like, impossible to drink the whole thing, because, like,
I don't think so,
liquid goes outward with the wide part, or is it just wide as a base, or the liquid actually goes all the way out?
Folks at home, this is an example where Dan is acting all this out, and it's not aiding.
There's a bit of...
It's not aiding my comprehension of his point.
Okay, so the top of the mug is a certain diameter, and the bottom of the mug is a wider diameter. Mm-hmm. Is the wider diameter... A wider inner diameter, too, so it fits more liquid.
Sure, yes.
It fits a wider...
Okay, I get what you mean.
Does it fit a wider diameter of liquid? Wait, let me just say it just so I feel sane. Does it fit a wider diameter of liquid at the bottom than it does at the top?
I understand. I had always presumed it did, but you're right to suggest that there's no reason to presume that. It could be that it is a straight cylinder, and the outside is the goofy
Because it
shape.
Seems like that would make it more difficult to drink.
That's a funny...
Yeah. Dan's acting out.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
I shouldn't mention it because nobody can see it.
It looks more like toothbrushing than drinking.
It's like a vertical...
There's that or there's another.
Yeah, a vertical toothbrush dirtiness thing going on.
If you go on Google and look up milking table, that's what that looked like.
Milking
Dan.
Table.
Milking table.
I don't know about that.
All right, we will be...
Milking.
Wait, oh shit.
We will be right back.
I think that about covers it. If you need me, I'll be on the promenade. I'll be right back.
I'll go with you.
Yes, of course you will.
You know where to find me.
Look, go or stay. Sleep or don't. I'll be here.
And we're back.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, I'm so glad to see you.
I missed you. Fennec Barile, it's good to see you.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant. Having a good time?
Vedic Barile.
No, look,
that guy sucks.
We're gonna talk about the episode. We do have a quick email to go through.
Yeah.
But since you brought it up with the sound clip, it is funny,
Jake.
Then this is one of those episodes we've talked about this before, where Vedic Barile, normal Vedic Barile, is this kind of boring ass dude. This is one of those episodes where he gets to be all like goofy, and he's way more engaging as like dumb, like head over heels in love, Cupid in love with Dax. Vedic Barile is much more interesting than regular old Vedic Barile. Yeah.
Barile, listen to me.
Kind of like a Mirror Barile. Remember we talked about Mirror Barile was also fun.
Well,
Barile, listen to
this
me.
This was from the scene where I think is possibly the most badass Sisko scene in all of DS9. Even more badass than when he punched out Q. Because like Barile just lays into Sisko and Sisko's not even mad.
He strikes Sisko's face. He makes contact first.
And Sisko's face moves aside like he was hit.
Not even mad.
And it's like he's not mad about the hit. He's exasperated because he thinks Barile's like got the wrong idea and being annoying. But the punch to the face, that doesn't even faze him.
Both of the actors deserve praise for what I'm sure is from their theater training. That looked like a real punch.
Yeah, it did. I played that a few times. And it looked really good.
Theater stage fighting is it is hard to pull off well, and we've often joked about on like TOS is a great example where you can see their stunts.
No, you don't.
You can see the fake punches. You know, WWE is awesome, but you can often see the fake punches. This is one of those examples where you're like, that it looked like Avery Brooks got punched in the fucking face and then he was doing some Neo, like dealing with a kid, a child.
I know. I just love him taking that fucking punch to the face, and like the only thing annoying him is Barile's attitude, but the punch is like, it doesn't even like, it's not even on his radar.
And play the clip again, because, and I want folks to listen, it is also one of the places where he most sounds like Jake.
Okay, so first I'm going to play the Barile part.
Oh, no, you don't. Barile, listen to me.
When he says Barile, doesn't that sound like Jake? Doesn't that sound like Ciroc? That's a Ciroc Lofton type thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't. Barile, listen to me.
Mamba juice and Barile bread.
Macabu bread.
Rocky Jr. Extra sweet. Macabu bread, no crust.
And speaking of Jake, of course, nice
Jake,
nicely dressed as usual. I think in the 90s, people like to make fun of what Jake wears.
I always dug it.
I also always dug it. I was jealous.
Hell door joy.
When he was older, he was better dressed. When he was
It
younger.
Turns out I don't have much to be grateful for.
I want to be, I would purchase Jake Sisko pattern style clothes.
It's better.
Major Kira is a woman.
It's better than Wesley.
I wouldn't be able to carry it off as well as Ciroc Lofton, of course, but I would still want to wear them. And you're right.
I love you, Nerys.
Better than Wesley. Wesley's.
It was always that weird rainbow suit.
Well, that's because he didn't pick a route yet.
It was never,
But Dad, you promised that Nerys would be here.
The Wesley uniform was that three colors, because you don't know?
It was improvised.
That was the plan.
You're going to go to command? You're going to go to ops?
That was the plan. That was the plan. That was the plan. That was the plan. It turns out I don't have much to be grateful for, but I'm not going to have any fun.
Purposefully or otherwise.
Oh, Jake, how thoughtful. Thank you.
Dan has reminded me that we should stick to the plan.
Oh, my bad. Wait.
No. You did a good thing.
Wait.
These are our messages.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes. So there was a previous email from Stephen, which we've read, commented on, and appreciated.
Yes.
Now there is an email from, let me squint my eyes here. What is it? It's an email from a Rob Glaubitz.
Oh, what? Mm. Who is this Glaubitz
Rob
person?
Does that guy know you?
Rob, of course, is Dan's brother.
Oh, that guy. Fuck. That Rob Glaubitz.
He's been on the show before.
Mm-hmm. Several times.
Yeah. He has a friend who is also a fan of the show. I think those are our two fans. A
couple of times, just one time.
Two fans in that particular state they live
in. Becky, she's also expressed interest in being on the
show. I won't dox them.
Word.
I mean, people...
She should be on the show as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We won't say
I agree.
We should go. I think we should go do a traveling...
We could just go there and do it. Yeah, that would be happening.
Oh, and she had a fun fact about teeth that I'm forgetting now.
What was the fun fact about...
I don't remember, because we were talking about teeth in one episode.
Teeth are like...
Something about teeth and bones or something.
They're like bones.
Okay. Jesse was like, you weren't launching into a fact. You were launching into some sort of aphorism.
No.
Teeth are like...
So.
Teeth are like women.
I was going to start jamming.
They're all pointy and white. I don't know.
I'll explain everything later.
Okay. So, Rob, Nan's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is to provide some context.
I don't get it.
At least some limited context. At some point in a recent episode, I think it may have been Schizoid Man. We discussed or brought up the topic of pickled tomatoes.
Ah, pickled maters.
Pickled tomatoes.
Pickled maters.
Maybe it might have been Jesse and I last week. Maybe we said something in our drunken ramblings about whether or not you could have a pickled tomato.
Well, in our pickle episode, what was the favorite pickle? Was it Sucker Punch?
We did like the Sucker Punch. We'd have to go back and listen. So folks who aren't aware, we occasionally do something called It's Not Star Trek. Yes. We've done two so far.
We're dangerous.
One is called It's Got Pickles.
One was Alf.
And we did ate a bunch of pickles. And yes, as Jesse stated.
But the pickle one was very enjoyable.
We also watched Alf. It's Got Alf.
There were so many pickles.
But Rob says pickled tomatoes are a thing. Mm-hmm. At least pickled green tomatoes.
Mm. Oh.
And then he says, ask Dan about the recipe for pickled green tomato relish that is hanging on his wall at his house. So Dan.
Have I seen that?
I responded to Rob.
I saw a different thing on your wall.
I responded. Hold on. Wait. Dan, hold on a second.
Wait.
Okay. Because Rob said, ask Dan about the recipe for pickled green tomato relish that is hanging on his wall at his house.
No. Yikes.
And so I responded to Rob. I said, I will not only ask, I will use the key I have to Dan's house to sneak in and take a picture of the recipe.
You didn't.
It's just
do
a crazy
that.
Idea.
If I can successfully dodge his guard cats and the local Arlington Karens that keep constant watch on the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I probably shouldn't use the term Karens. I apologize.
Karen.
They would have found
Karen.
It.
But they would have found it. They wouldn't have found a Karen.
Karen,
why'd you Karen. Throw a Karen?
So
they would have found it. That what movie is that from?
That
Goodfellas.
There you go.
It's burning.
Bilana's on it.
Burning in my brain.
The helicopters and flushing all that coke down the toilet.
Karen.
All right. So that was my response. I wrote that response via email. Reply via email to Rob.
What?
And Rob and I got a reply back. I think in less than a minute I got a reply back that just said, I think it's near the kitchen. So he's giving me insider advice on how I can find this supposed pickled green tomato relish.
I think Rob needs to check his facts because I do have a recipe on my wall, but it is for raisin.
Some kind of pasta.
It's for raisin meatballs.
Raisin meatballs. That's what it is. It's raisin, meatballs
raisin,
with raisins.
Yeah.
And raisin. You mean like some sort of gross meatballs with raisins, not like raisin meatballs.
It's not like raising Arizona. It's sort of a nice decorative tapestry that describes how to make meatballs.
And my aunt actually made that.
Really?
Because she was a calligrapher. I mean, she's still alive, but like she used to do a lot of calligraphy. Uh-huh.
That's a good gig.
Yeah. So
yeah,
and you paid a lot to be a calligrapher.
Yeah, and she made this recipe for she didn't come up with the recipe. They're actually called like Rick's Famous Raisin Meatballs. My dad. And,
is it like a gag?
Lots of meatballs have raisins in them. It's
so
like
is that
a like
real?
A
Mediterranean
thing.
I'm trying to explain right here what the deal is.
You're trying to.
I'm trying to.
Wait.
North Cackalack.
So, Eric, which is my father, I guess I don't know if he and I don't know why they're referenced as his famous raisin meatballs. I don't know the full history behind that, but I guess he made them at some point.
Okay,
sounds delicious.
But yeah, there were raisin meatballs that I'm guessing he served. I don't know why she attributed it to him specifically. I don't have the full history on that. Rob would probably know better than that. But I don't think I have anything about pickled tomato relish on my wall. I think it's the raisin meatball thing he's thinking of.
So Rob, you have introduced.
I want to have some raisin meatballs with the pickled tomato relish. Yeah.
You know, raisins. It sounds gross, but actually, raisin meatballs are surprisingly good.
No, it just adds a nice moisture. It adds a grapey flavor.
Yeah. See, the thing is I'm not a big raisin fan. I don't really like raisins that much. But I think I remember liking raisin meatballs. And this is really strange, but I remember with Rob as a kid, we would cook popcorn in an old school like popcorn maker, not the air popper, the one where you pour the oil in the bottom of the hot plate and put the top on, and we'd pour raisins in there and eat popcorn with raisins. Sounds disgusting, but it was actually it was actually pretty good.
Popcorn and raisins go together.
Yes. I'll be the odd man out on that one for now. I mean, I haven't tried
no,
it.
No, I respect.
I've got an open mind.
No, I respect if you think it sounds gross, because it does sound gross. And I would think it
and
sounds
I got nothing
gross,
against
but it's
raisins.
It's not gross.
I ate raisins as a snack as a kid. Is that the raisins is more about the combination of what's the raisin with, right?
You don't get it.
Like, nobody likes the raisin cookie, not because of the raisin, it's because it's a trick.
You think, I like a raisin.
You think it's a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. But I mean, I do like oatmeal raisin, but it is, I will say that one time I bit into a giant piece of what I thought was chocolate, and it was my first introduction to the fruit date.
Ah, dates. Oh. Dates are great.
And dates are delicious, but they're not good when you've never had one. And
it's not chocolate.
They're not good when you've never had one, and you're expecting it to be a giant piece of chocolate.
It's a less alarming version of the milk orange juice continental breakfast confusion. You know,
you'd be irascible too.
When you think you're reached for the glass of the little tiny glass of milk they give you at the hotel, but you've actually reached for the little tiny glass of orange juice. You take a sip, your brain thinks milk. It tastes orange juice, and then you just start vomiting all over the place like in Goonies.
Just like in Goonies.
We should talk about
I've never been so embarrassed in all my life.
Hey, Dan, check it out. Jesse's being all responsible and shit.
What are you doing?
You probably didn't even hear it. Jesse,
I did. Something about
normally,
Goonies.
We don't hear what Jesse says.
We should talk about
But Jesse's all like, we should talk about the episode.
Benjamin, stop acting so coy. There's no one around. Benjamin, stop acting so coy. 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 There's no one around.
Now we gotta play that record scratch sound. Was like, you might wonder why everyone's acting so crazy right now. And rewind back to the beginning of the episode when there we go. When we're introduced to the fact that Jake has recently, broken up with his
Dabo girl.
Oh,
his girlfriend.
I'm sorry. Before we move on real quick, I want to mention that I almost forgot that Becky actually...
Becky, yes.
...takes your side on the fried green tomatoes discussion, Patrick.
I should hope so.
That she enjoys the book, the movie, and the food?
I'm assuming all three.
Which I believe is
the food is definitely good.
An Apu from Simpsons joke, perhaps?
I think so. But like, yeah, I think she's into it fried green tomatoes as much as you are. Yeah, apparently,
cool. Well, I would like to
the secrets and the sauce.
But I need to ask her. I need to ask her again what she was saying about teeth, because I remember she told me and I can't remember now.
Yeah, the secrets and the sauce.
Was she talking about vagina dentata?
No, no.
Which is one of those season 2 X-Files episodes.
Oh no.
Oh man.
I'm fooling. I know my X-Files.
What are you doing?
Racquetball is code for making love, right?
No.
What are you talking about?
Racquetball?
Racquetball is not.
Remember
real.
When O'Brien's complaining about how long Bashir's all like,
I think, well,
we played a bunch of fucking racquetball. My elbow hurts from jerking you off.
Well, I thought it was more like instead of just playing racquetball, we should just start having sex instead.
Oh, you think he was suggesting that they move on from racquetball?
Right, yeah. That seemed more like you know, she's gonna be gone.
Well,
a long time,
I could see that. I remember that when
like
you kept,
my arm's getting sore from the racquetball, like, so we should do something different.
I mean, gotcha. They did it like 70 times, and he thought it was only like 18 or 20 times. You know? Well, I was thought.
Oh, you
I
mean
was,
O'Brien thought it was 18.
Yeah.
What you're suggesting is
Chief
that,
O'Brien?
O'Brien, I mean, or that Bashir may not be a fully satisfying lover.
Cisco to Bashir.
What the one that stood out to me, though, as a strong sort of relationship signal indicator was when Odo was talking to his security replacement person and briefing him on the situation. And he goes, I usually make it a point to drop by Quark's 3 or 4 times a day at random intervals just to let him know I'm thinking about him. That's not to check up on him to make sure he's not up to no good.
It's overt.
It's overt.
Just
he's
because
like,
you love
he
him.
Just, yeah, just because he loves him. That's totally what it's about.
And I don't think it's a...
I love you so much.
I don't wait to... It's not a carnal...
I love you.
With them.
No.
I always have and I always will.
Clearly, there's a carnal fixation between Bashir and O'Brien.
Yeah. At least on Bashir's end.
On his end, for sure. with Quark and Odo,
It's always fascinating, and I agree with you, Dan. That's such a great line because it's dropping all the pretense, right? Mm-hmm. This is they're at the point in the series where they're like, we don't got to fuck around anymore.
Yeah.
We just state it outright that they're not tugging on each other so much as, but
the Dragon Ball.
There's maybe even something deeper. Maybe.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Even deeper than a loving tug.
Oh, I'm glad.
Glad.
My ears tingle at the sight of you.
Right, I did. That was the quark ear molestation with Keiko.
Oh, forget about him.
It was performed
what about
well,
me? But I need you, Keiko.
She looked horrified.
She did, and she should. Like they were playing it for comedy, and the unfortunate thing is that it was funny, but it was also in the context. You're like, no, that's a Ferengi sexual organ. It's basically like a dude rubbing his crotch up against a chick's whatever.
I mean, it's like
I like how I'm being all feminist, but I mean, like, this dude's like rubbing the chick's pussy.
It's interesting.
The skirt.
You give him umox for sexual pleasure, but then also the same way you hurt them is by grabbing the ears. I guess it's the same with the balls.
Yeah, balls and
but dick. It's not quite the same with the balls.
I mean, it's
everybody's got different balls.
It's pinching my balls.
Well, it seems like people go for a Ferengi's ear to inflict pain more often than they go for a person's balls.
They do that. They do it in this episode. Balls. Like the deal with Ferengi is you do the Catholic nun pinch ear grab.
So here's
for
the thing.
A Ferengi.
See, here's the thing. Catholic yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Then the Catholic nun pinch.
Here's the thing.
Have you done that here's to Catholic nuns?
No, it's what they do to you.
They
grab you by the ear.
Yes. Here's the thing with the Ferengi ears. It's much more public. When you get umox, they don't mind getting umox in public and just being like, oh, in public, right? Now, if you don't see someone stroking,
Bolana's on
you don't see someone like grabbing and stroking someone's balls in public and them going like, oh, but you do it with
if you did, it would be an odd
but
thing.
Then, but you do it with the umox. Similarly, you more often see people go for the ears to inflict pain on Ferengi than you do see someone go for the balls. Usually when someone goes for the balls, it's like kind of played for comedic effect, but you know it would work. Like, I mean, I'm sure it would work in a fight, but like, it just seems like the sexual, and Ferengi's sexuality is like on display right there on their ears.
Yes.
For all the public to see.
Masculinity is a fascinating topic, and Star Trek touches on it sometimes.
Touch you.
I'm going to touch all of you guys.
But the...
what you're feeling now is just a crush.
Just a crush! But
you can't keep his hands off me.
The whole Ferengi ear rubbing, and you're right, Dan, I'd never really thought about that. They don't seem so ashamed about it in public. Mm-hmm. It's more associated with if somebody was like caressing your shoulder or something. Mm-hmm. However, we're given the impression that... I don't think the ear is meant to be like... It's not meant to be like a full-on... It's not like a clitoris
or penis.
He's not
totally bonafide.
I think it's just a nice personal feeling. But I also think it's funny.
Personal feeling.
Well, think about the other thing about masculinity.
Excuse me.
In general, because like, you made me think about it, like in a fair fight, do Ferengi have a rule where it's like not cool to go for the ears? You know how like often
I would think
often gentlemen, males of the human species would be like they'll be like it's not cool to go for somebody's balls, to kick somebody in the balls. It's totally fine to paralyze them, kill them, punch
them,
you know, push their nose into their brain, break their legs.
Of course.
That's acceptable, but it's like uncool.
No.
To like
don't hit them in the balls.
Hit them in the balls.
That's right.
Dudes are weird.
Yeah. You tell him, Benjamin.
Murder.
Peldor Joy.
Ah, Peldor Joy, Odo.
Peldor Joy.
Tezra.
His eyes unfurled. Oh,
Impatre.
Sorry. That's a different episode.
Bren.
Yeah.
Didn't
they do this whole burning...
Veta.
Burning the business...
Ulan.
Ulan.
That's a weird language.
What was that weird blue liquid? And that weird blue liquid she was combining?
It was like a... Yeah, she's making like a cocktail.
Yeah.
So like some... Blue... Is it blue curacao? Is that how it's pronounced?
Blue.
Curacao.
Mystique, by the way. Last time I couldn't figure out that stupid drink they were trying to sell us for a while. I think it was called Mystique or Mystique. But
told you.
But this whole business with the writing shit on a scroll and burning it, didn't they do that's from No Time to Die, right? They did that in that James Bond movie where they were in some sort of Italian town. Where I guess that's a thing you do. You put your regrets or something and you let them
ancient Roman
burn. Yeah.
That whole scene with Morn, she goes, "Morn, I can't believe a handsome, fun-loving guy like you could have so many problems. My advice to you is to burn this as quickly as possible and don't look back." And so he does. Mm-hmm. But like, and then Beryl, of course, is like,
"Sage advice."
Now, obviously, he's just hitting on her, but because that's not sage advice at all. That's just the parroted, like status quo sort of like
good old regular
advice. That's just, it's not even like, it's a scripted thing to say.
It's like
no matter what you do in that scenario, the advice is to burn the scroll.
It's the ritualistic, the whole ritual
is to burn the scroll. So when she says, "My advice to you is to burn the scroll," that's not advice. That's just reminding you what the ritual is.
But maybe that's right. Maybe part of the ritual.
Fill out that form and burn.
Yeah, right.
Maybe part of the ritual is being encouraged by others to do it.
Sure. Okay.
Well, if you think that's the best way to handle it.
It took you a moment to find that clip, but that was a good clip for what I said.
I'll keep that in
mind. Clip.
I will.
Do you think that the whole reason that Keiko had a bad time on the ship was because Loxana gave Molly all that?
That's
candy?
What it seems. Yeah. She was like,
because
it was like she all like gets off there like, "Oh my god!"
And she gave her she gave Molly so much candy that Bashir had to give her like fucking medicine. Like she had to be prescribed medication because Loxana gave her so much fucking candy. Yeah.
There was no other explanation, so you had to assume that it was Loxana.
You don't give someone else's kid like candy, like without their permission.
I mean, if you're Loxana Troy, you do.
I was on the bus once.
She's the daughter of the Thirst House.
I was on the bus once, and I was like witnessing this scenario. There was this mother and her child, and then there was this other woman of a similar age. They were probably in their late 40s or something. And then the other woman was just like not even looking at the mother, looking at the kid. Had like an open thing of like M&Ms. She's like, "Do you want some M&Ms?" Like her mom's right there, and her mom's just like, "No, thank you." She was like being really cool about it. But here's the thing is she was being super cool about it while giving these eyes that were just kind of like saying like, "You're not going to."
There's a whole show about that called Strangers with Candy.
That's not, has nothing to do with that.
Has everything to do with it.
That no, it has nothing to do with that.
You just described.
No, that's the fucking title of the show. The show has nothing to fucking do with that.
Yeah, it's about like how you. That show's about. Like,
the show has nothing to fucking do with what I just said.
You shouldn't.
Oh
take
my
strangers.
God, absolutely.
You take candy from strangers.
The point I'm trying to make is that I thought that person handled it very well because she was very polite and was very much just like calm. It's like, "No, thank you." Because she was keeping her cool in front of her child, but she had her eyes on that other woman the whole time being like, "I am not taking my eyes off you. You're up to no good." And it was shady the way that woman was like not even looking at the mom. Just like, "Here's me." You don't offer kids candy like that.
I think that it was,
unless you're like close friends with the family. Yeah. But if you're just some stranger, like if you're Loxana and you're on the shit with Molly.
I agree.
When you're in the shit with Molly. Yeah. Like
and Molly O'Brien, not Molly, the nickname for MDMA.
No.
Which used to be called ecstasy. And then it was called Molly for a while. I don't know what the kids are calling it these days.
Know,
and write into feedback.
I didn't say
if you
that.
Know.
Yeah, if you know, because I kind of want to know. If you write into feedback at StarTrek.com and tell us what you call, what you ask for, if you want a drug dealer to give you MDMA, what are you supposed to ask for?
Is it, you know.
Probably
just tell me what you want to do.
50 bucks? Is that okay?
My guess is they're going to be like, no, I think they just call it MDMA today because, you know. People don't have these stupid nicknames anymore.
But maybe you should.
Dan, that was a good anecdote, and it reminded me. No, no, I'm not being sarcastic.
You're being facetious.
I'm not being facetious. No. I'm not being sarcastic.
You're being feces.
I enjoyed your anecdote made sense. My strangers with candy joke, of course, was ridiculous. But your anecdote did make me think of another scenario.
The overnight scenario?
No, I don't know what that means.
That's...
Is didn't that you a John Le Carré type thing?
That's that go-go song.
Oh.
In the morning, da-ba-da-ba-da.
All right.
In the morning, da-ba-da-ba-da.
I think the go-go.
Talking about the overnight scenario. Scenario.
Washington, D.C., the birthplace of go-go.
Bean.
Dan was there when it happened.
Pork and beans.
Dan is the unheralded
Rototoms.
Contributor to
three in the morning. DC Go-Go. Four in the morning. Talking about the overnight scenario.
My anecdote that you made me think of, and because I'm curious, your judgment, Dan, if I did the right thing in this scenario, because you were talking about not taking candy from some strange people.
And, that's okay.
I was in Washington, D.C., the birthplace of go-go music. In fact, I was not too far from the location of where a lot of go-go music was played.
I only wish I had a friend like you.
It was a crowded street, lots of people out and about having a good time.
Was it
and this fella comes up to me and he says, hey.
Hey, it's for horses.
Hey, what's up? I was like, not much. He's like, put her there. I was like, what?
What?
And he was like, put her there. He puts his hand out. And I,
oh, no.
You
know, is he a cowboy?
Wow.
Oh, no, you don't.
I was out and about. I was having a good time, too. So I was like, okay. And I shook the guy's hand. And when I did, he placed something in my hand.
No.
And I look in my hand, and what he had placed in my hand was just sort of like a handful of marijuana.
Whoa.
Not in a bag. Not a baggie of marijuana or cannabis.
Just loose?
Or grass, whatever you want to call it.
Loose
just,
flower.
Just a handful
loose leaf.
Of loose marijuana.
Weird. So,
and I'm looking at my hand all confused.
When did that happen?
And then,
what are you talking about?
I want to say like 2000.
So what'd you do? What'd you do with it?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. I'm looking at this handful of marijuana, and then he looks at me. I look at him, and he's got a smile on his face, and he leans in all close. He's like, you wouldn't believe it. Earlier today, I found a trash bag filled with weed.
What the fuck?
I was like,
was it from Maryland?
No, like, you don't.
I was like, what? He was like, yeah, no joke, dude. He's like, there's got to be like 50 pounds of weed. I don't know what to do with it. And well, I was like,
this whole thing is ridiculous.
I was like, okay, thank you. He's like, all right. And then he like walked down the street and started like talking to other people. And I guess he was just like, he didn't have the trash bag with him, but you know.
He's a son of a bitch.
And I was like, in my mind, I was like, I don't know. It was like this strange drug-addled gentleman approaches me in a crowded street late at night and says, here's a handful of weed.
Don't worry. Everything's going
to
be fine.
What's the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do in that scenario?
So what'd you do?
I mean, I smoked the weed over the course of the next week.
You brave soul.
Yeah. It was good. It was fine.
Nice DC weed.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, did I do the right thing, Dan?
Yes.
Because he was a stranger, and it was kind of candy. Stranger.
Yeah, sure.
Brain candy. Anyway.
That's right.
It's funny, because this is a really good episode of Star Trek. We're not talking about
I don't know if I'd say this is a really good episode of Star Trek.
It's a funny
episode. It's kind of like one of them. This is kind of like one of them time waster episodes of Star Trek.
But that's good. That can be good, because we do learn a lot about the characters.
I mean, I will say that like the episode passed by pretty quickly. Like there was always something kind of going on, interesting to look at. Even though nothing really got accomplished, I was entertained. A lot of entertaining shit happened. Very silly.
The main thing that gets accomplished is a reinforcement of O'Brien's true love of Keiko.
Chief O'Brien!
I think that ultimately, in terms of just character development, most of the rest of the stuff is silly goofiness, but that at least is like, at the end of the story, you're like, they actually...
It begins with that whole thing where they do the whole like young couple in love meeting at the shuttle bay, you know, with Kira and Barile.
And he was expecting to just start fucking.
And they're all smoochy boochies, and then they leave. And then you see like the old tired like married couple, and it's like she's like, I'm tired and miserable, and he's like, well, I'm grumpy and cranky, and
so horny.
The trip was
grumpy and horny,
and it's like, oh, all the heat is gone from this relationship. But then you find out in the end, it's like they have the strongest bond of all.
Of course,
at first what I thought was happening was I thought that the love bug was affecting everyone in the same way, except it made O'Brien a total asshole. Because when he was like,
being kind of a fucking dick.
Because he was like, go with Sabar!
Yeah.
Go!
A little extra, yeah.
Leave, we don't need you anyway, you stupid jerk face person.
Yeah.
And like, he was being pretty fucking cruel.
Yeah.
Like, when Keiko was like, I'm gonna leave and pretend like I don't know you anymore or some shit. Like, I was like, is this bug just affecting O'Brien differently? No, that was the bug had nothing to do with any of that. They even said as much.
I mean,
like,
that was kind of the punchline of the episode.
And so the two punchlines of the episode was, one, O'Brien really was being truly a fucking asshole there. Number two, Dax really has some like latent feelings for Sisko, which is gross.
I mean, but you know, Understandable.
Not that gross.
And what if it's not? What if it's not Jadzia? What if it's Curzon?
Yeah. What if it's Curzon?
Curzon.
The only reason it's gross is because they're old friends. That's why it's they're super old friends.
Hey, Dan. Sometimes that makes it more fun. Yeah.
You know? I mean. But the way they talk with each other, they talk like old. They talk like, "Hey, pally boy," you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. How about this?
It doesn't have anything to do with being an old man or an old this or a young that.
That's what Cisco calls.
He says old man in that sort of like old friendship kind of way.
All right. Here's what I propose.
It's a break.
We've got to take a break, and then I promise.
Is this what you propose?
Apropos of nothing. If you simply say apropos, that's.
Do you want me to do it?
And I can't really say apropos of nothing because the timing and all, there's all sorts of specific reasons why we're taking a break.
What are you talking about?
We'll take a break, and then Dan, Jesse, and I, who are old friends, we'll experiment with this whole...
Experiment?
With the whole, like, having sex with old friends things and if it's weird or not.
Yeah, experiment.
Oh, it's weird.
Then we'll get...
Whatever not.
We will be right back.
Be a dare. Run along.
Oh, go on. Leave.
Oh, I'm not going. Excuse me. Okay, I'll go.
Sounds like Epcot Center.
Oh my God. And we are back.
I'll tell him. Oh, tell him I'll be there shortly.
Okay, I will. I'll do that, Bashir. I'll do that. Okay, Bashir. I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do that for you, Bashir.
Is there more to this joke, or did you just have that one clip and then you followed it up with some jibber jabber?
Remember when Odo?
I mean, I enjoyed it, but
remember when Odo got all like fed up with Bashir making out with Kira in front of him, and he was all like.
Yep.
He was all like,
"No, Doctor."
Remember that happened?
I felt bad for Odo.
I know.
He like first of all, he's like, he's like, "Hey, Kira, you want to go to the party with me?" She's like, "Yeah, you can join me in Barile." And he's like, "Oh." And then Kira's like, "I'm not into you anymore, Barile. I'm gonna make out with someone else. Come here, Bashir." And then Odo's just like, "Oh man, yeah. Oh man." Did Waxana and Odo ever have a thing, or did Waxana always just hit on him? I can't remember.
There was an earlier.
Yeah, there's a previous episode of Deep Space Nine, and it's actually the Waxana Odo scenes are wonderful because Waxana is so often played as a joke. And to good effect, but in that episode, while there is some clowniness and joking with her, she and Odo have a real and sincere connection, and she makes reference to it because at one point he can't hold his form anymore. They're trapped in a turbo lift, yeah. And so she kind of holds out her big puffy skirt, and he like melts into her skirt.
She didn't hold out her big puffy.
Oh no!
Never mind.
I can only interpret Dan's little motions there. I believe he was referring to vulva,
puffy,
oh,
puffy.
No. Puffy,
like a vulva.
So he could because he didn't have his pail. So
he did not have his pail.
She pulled out her fluffy. You know.
Yeah.
So he could be in there instead. Yeah.
So just so everyone at home knows. Dan is he enjoyed the joke, but he does seem guilty and embarrassed. He looked embarrassed before he said the joke, but he was compelled to say it nevertheless.
Yeah.
But so they have this existing connection where she's always been into him and thinks he's sexy.
I have an idea.
I think partly maybe she can't read his mind so well. I think she's intrigued by the shape-shifting and uniqueness of his character at the time when she met him previously. They didn't know about the founders and all that. So yes, they have this pre-existing connection, which we see a little bit about here. Yeah. But he's still friend-zoned with Kira.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah. That's a bummer, dude.
I like when
Odo.
I like when Dax all like Dax gets the most mischievous when she turns into Loveland. Like first of all,
Loveland Dax.
Well, I was saying first of all, like you know, because Barile starts like first of all, Barile and Barile is talking to Kira.
Stay tuned next week when Dan is like, I want everyone to tell me if I say first of all to me.
Beryl is all giving Kira guff for hanging out with Dax because he's like, she's so, you know, meh, meh, meh.
He's being, there's a lot of dudes being assholes in this episode.
And I thought it was at first because he didn't like, he was jealous of Kira's and Dax's friendship or he didn't trust Dax. But really, it's because he kind of had a secret crush on her. He was interested in her.
You're using an in-universe explanation. My out-of-universe explanation for his behavior, O'Brien's behavior, and the behavior of some of the other people is because they were using, while I like this episode, they were using a sitcom plot from the 1960s or 70s transposed onto Deep Space Nine. So you required the husband who's all like bitter that his wife has a job now and wears slacks. And then you have a Beryl looking with distaste at the unclassy, whorish woman that he is, of course, secretly attracted to for precisely the qualities that he claims to not appreciate.
So Beryl eventually hits on Dax and Dax is all offended and you're led to believe that Dax is offended on Kira's behalf.
Right.
But then we find out Dax is more annoyed because she's like, this pesky guy, I'm into this fucking Cisco dude. And then like later on,
she's like, Vedic, fuck that shit. I want a fucking captain.
It was funny she did this when Beryl goes up to Cisco, like, because Beryl's like, please step aside, Commander. I need to talk to Jadzia. And Cisco goes, I don't think she wants to speak with you. And all you see is her hand and her finger. And she goes, you tell him, Benjamin. And her finger's all wagging back and forth.
You tell him, Benjamin.
And you just see her finger like very punctuated sort of back and forth super waggle. She's like, you tell him, Benjamin. Each time I punctuate a consonant, that's her finger wags in another direction. You tell him, Benjamin. You tell him, Benjamin. That's like six finger wags. And she does it. You know how the people do it when like their face is off screen so you can only see their hand gestures and they're super exaggerated?
Yeah, Jesse, you know about that? You know how people do that?
And then not only does this shit make you fall in love with people, it makes you really superficial too, because Beryl walks up to her and has like a super bracelet for her, right? And he's like, here,
super bracelet.
Here, he's like, Jadzia, I've got this super bracelet for you. And suddenly she's interested. She's like, ooh, let me see that. And she grabs it and she scurries off and runs away with it. Yeah. She's like, wow, I got this great super bracelet. And then she uses that she re-gifts that back to Benjamin. Mm-hmm. But it's just funny because it's like, it doesn't just make people fall in love with other people. It turns them into superficial assholes on top of that.
Yeah. And that's the, I made the joke about the 60s or 70s sitcom. And I think that's true about sort of the dialogue and the character structure. But the actual idea, the core ideas from this episode go way back to Greek and Shakespearean or Greek style
right.
comedies. Where you've got some sort of impish fairy or something causes people to fall in love with the wrong people, and it's all like hilarious, and there's like cross class, cross age, cross culture, whatever. This is a very old tale they're telling here, and there's not much of a message other than it's funny, and that's why I return to my earlier argument that the main message of this episode was just to reinforce that Keiko and O'Brien do really like each other for real.
They do really like each other.
I mean, O'Brien, everyone always talks about him getting tortured, and it's true, but at least in this episode, he's being tortured by an extremely relatable, normal, regular person problem, which
irascible
stress on a marriage due to
he's just married,
childcare, and
irascible
career conflicts, geographic conflicts. These are things that so many people have had to deal with. At the same time,
in the end, they only break your heart.
O'Brien's being all like, not 1990s style. He's being very 1970s style with like, you should quit your job.
Because
you're the lady. You should take care of the kid.
It's your fault, Dax. You took this one too far.
Too far.
Too far. When Dax says to Julian, she goes, at least someone around here has a sense of humor. See you at the party, Julian. That's like after like she like, you know, is hitting on sis. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like, okay, this whole time people are falling in love with each other. Everyone's just like, man, this is fucking annoying. Like when Jake hits on Kira, that's like the most uncomfortable to watch. I'm just like, that gives me the crawly heebly jeeblies.
Especially since they don't like they don't react like it's completely crazy, right?
Well, I think Kira gives a good reaction. She's speechless when he does it. Like, she's just like,
Yeah, but then, like, I don't...
Well, Sisko takes... He's, like, a little bit too understanding
I mean,
of it.
I mean, he's being a good dad, I guess, but, like...
I think he should be a little more weirded
out. You'd think it'd be, like... You'd think the reaction wouldn't be, like, what, she's... Like, Sisko's like, oh, she already has a relationship. It's not... Yeah. You can't have a relationship with this... person because of age difference and all these other things. It's just like, oh, but she already has a boyfriend. His reason for Jake not to date Kira.
Yeah, so, but like, it wasn't until Dax started hitting on Sisko that they were like, okay, there's some alien weird shit going on here. Yeah. There's some kind of, now something must be fucked up because Dax is hitting on Sisko. Yeah. That was one progression in the episode.
You would have thought maybe even the Beryl stuff should have been enough. I mean, there was a few things where earlier on you might have been like, I mean, even the Jake thing, I kind of think in a normal Star Trek episode would be like, well, let's double check that his brain's working properly.
So they're in the sick bay or whatever. And when I said Dax goes, at least someone, because she's now pretending it's a joke or whatever, she's like, at least someone here has a sense of humor. See you at the party, Julian. And then Julian gives this weird smile. He gives this cute Julian Bashir smile. Yeah. And then he gives like a little wave that says like, oh, you rascal, forget about it. Yeah. He gives this little like, oh, you. Yeah. Oh, you.
Also, he gives the 1960s /70s sitcom wave.
Yeah, but he gives the cutest Bashir smile I've ever seen. Yeah. And followed up with that wave, it just makes me want to snuggle him. Don't you want to snuggle him?
I mean, there are many reasons to want to snuggle Julian. And you've listed... you've just added to that pile.
The pile.
That grand pile of reasons to want to snuggle up to Julian.
Pile.
And his teddy bear.
And his teddy bear?
Yeah, he's got that little teddy bear he likes.
The pile of teddy bear?
No, he's just got one teddy bear. By the way...
Poo-poo!
We do... Poo-poo-poo-poo! We do need to do Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
Oh, I also wanted to say, though, that the one other part where this episode sort of like... So one of the progressions was that Sisko-Dax thing. Mm-hmm. The other one was when you see... Because you start to notice after a while that when Waxana gets that head motion thing... Yeah.
When she
slowly
she does the universal TV commercial indicator for I have a headache.
Yeah,
where she puts her hand up to her temple and closes her eyes and sort of grimaces and is like, and then the Nuprin little yellow different, you know, the black and white hand with the Nuprin is all yellow commercial.
Yeah, the one that Wayne made fun of.
Oh yeah, they did, didn't they?
They did make fun of that.
All right. Then there's like Tylenol, which is called paracetamol in other places.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 100% sure about that.
Paracetamol?
Paracetamol.
Paracetamol?
Pretty much everywhere else is paracetamol.
So, and then when she does that, like other you see that other people start doing
it. We call it acetaminophen.
Like at the part where, so Kira's like, for you, I'll make time, Odo, just look for me. I'll be with Beryl. Odo says, oh, I thought he'd be celebrating the festival in Bajor. I'm having problems.
I was like, is this some new Benny Hill style gimmick where Dan first mispronunciates the thing?
Oh, no, you don't.
Then he follows up with a correction.
And then Kira says, so did I, but it turns out he'd rather be with Dax than me. And to make matters work, I have Jake Sisko chasing me around the station, professing his undying love. Bashir says, that's strange. A little while ago, Jadzia and Commander Sisko convinced
You're reading quite fast. You're missing some words, some articles here.
I'm going to slow down. I was trying to speed up to get to the next part, but understood. I'm really just shooting myself in the foot, making
relax,
it longer.
Just relax. Don't worry
about it. Bashir says, that's strange. A little while ago, Jadzia had Commander Sisko convinced that she was in love with him. He even had me examine her to make sure she was all right. Apparently, it was only a joke. So when Bashir says, in love with him... If you look at Waxana, right when Bashir says in love with him, when Jadzia had Commander Sisko convinced that she was in love with him, Waxana starts smiling. Mm. And it's one of those, like, you're not looking at her because she's one of the characters. It's fun sometimes in a scene to look at the characters not talking because sometimes they make funny faces, but she starts smiling. And at the end of that exchange, and Waxana and Odo
leave. Just so the folks at home know, I'm sorry, Dan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you... when you indicated that she was smiling, you made the hand motion of somebody crimping a mustache like a Hercule Poirot.
I don't know why that was worth interrupting me.
Because it confused me.
But nobody in the audience had any fucking idea.
I mean, in this case, I'm part of the audience.
No,
I'm
you're not. This is one of those things where you can just not mention it and none's the wiser.
Now, that's correct. And I won't make any Catholic jokes either.
Irascible.
That you are, Dan.
And at the end of the exchange, when Loxana and Odo leave, that's when Loxana grabs her head, and then Bashir does the same thing, and then Kira does the same thing, and this is Love Hits Again, which is, you know, on par for the course, except this is the first time that it hits the two right people at the right time.
Yes.
This is the first time that it's not unrequited love. This is the first time that it's not one way,
yeah,
because it hits both Kira and Bashir, yeah, and they both look right at each other and start going fucking crazy, yeah, at each other.
And by the way, we should have mentioned this before. Are we all in agreement that this virus uses duckling logic?
Darkwing Duck logic?
Not Darkwing Duck logic. Duckling logic. As in, you get affected, and then the first thing you look for, you know how a duckling follow like a human or a dog?
Well,
or
they did say that you had to have like some kind of
that's true
latent sort of.
It's kind of interesting that they added that. They didn't need to add.
They didn't need to add. Yeah, they didn't need.
They
to
did
add,
not need
because
to add
I
that.
Don't need to know now that Dax has like slight like subconscious feelings for Sisko.
Although
don't need
that
to
does help
that.
Later when well, because there's that time where Sisko goes to the mirror universe and is in disguise and has sex with different Dax. So it's not the same Dax, but the people still point.
They had to do that. This was a way to move the story forward because they just had all this shit like Loxana's fawning on Odo, Jake is fawning on Kira, Baraya's fawning on Dax, and then Dax wants Sisko, which is weird, and that moves it forward. Mm-hmm. But then they can't just have the same old love, someone falling for someone else again. So this time they have to move it a step forward by for having them two people fall in love with each other and have total sex with each other. On
total sex.
Total sex.
Yeah.
Well, and they added simultaneously horny for each other.
The meta joke is that in real life, those actors had a baby together.
Yeah.
They had a relationship. They had a baby. Kira got pregnant. It turned into a whole storyline.
From Alexander Siddig?
Alexander Siddig, yes. So that, I don't know if that was meant as an extra joke or who knows, maybe they fell in love right there.
When Odo's getting fed up with Bashir making out with Kira, I was watching with closed captioning and Odo's like, "Now, doctor." And Kira goes, "You'd better go." And Bashir says, "Right." And the closed captioning said in parentheses, "Moans amorously." That's gross.
Do you watch pornography with closed captions?
I don't watch pornography, Patrick.
You don't watch any pornography?
I listen to pornography.
You listen. You do the audio stuff.
I actually use Braille.
You Braille pornography.
I Braille pornography.
So that's like stories.
No.
Oh,
it's graphics, images.
But that's not really Braille. That's a bas-relief. So you do like,
shit.
Your porn is that you close your eyes and feel.
I close my eyes and make believe and I can go anywhere. I like adventure. I like romance. I love great jokes. Animal dance.
All right. Is that a theme song to something?
Yeah, it's Muppet Babies, yo.
Is that Muppet Babies?
Muppet Babies will make your dreams come true.
I didn't listen to the rest of the
Muppet Babies will do the same for you.
No. I was always like,
when you're somewhere kind of weird and you wish that you weren't there, just close your eyes and make believe and you can be anywhere.
First of all, that sounds like the advice you'd give to somebody who's facing chronic sexual abuse that they're trying to find like some safe space mentally as they endure the abuse. That's making me upset. Second of all,
why do you say things like that?
I missed most of the Muppet Babies opening theme because that would be the time where I'd be crushing up and snorting my Flintstones vitamins because that was the best way to watch that show.
It's your fault, Dax. You took this one too far.
Crush up a couple of Barney Rubbles and man, you're just flying that whole Muppet Babies episode.
What are you talking about?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure.
What are you doing?
All right, may we do Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
Yeah.
Quick programming note for this week. We're going to reveal...
our butts. We're going to reveal our butts to the audience.
Last week's the sound. We'll play the sound. We'll reveal the winner. We don't have a new... We don't have a new sound this week. Just due to busyness. Got a little crazy busy.
Okay, I have a sound. What's this sound?
Is that from this episode?
Yeah.
Right, that's not an official one, but feel free to write in at itsgotstartrek.com.
What sound is that from?
And you can guess what that sound clip Dan is playing. It's from this episode of Deep Space Nine called Fascination. All right, but we'll get back to it. Next week we'll have a new sound clip.
Thank you, fun one.
And by the way, a reminder: feel free. You can send in your own sound clips or time codes for
that was the plan.
Anywhere in the Star Trek universe, less than 10-second clip. Send us something that you think it would confuse, yet maybe beguile the audience.
Poor, sweet, tortured man.
It's a fun game. To play.
Now, I am who I am. I've learned to accept that.
Now, I'm going to play last week's sound
clip. To accept that.
And then give
Dan
and Jesse an opportunity to guess, and then we'll...
Opportunity to guess.
Right. You know how I used to
say... I really appreciate it, Benjamin.
I used to always critique Dan by saying that Dan always goes,
well, maybe you should
one measure too long.
No,
no, you're right, Dan. My critique was incorrect. Lately you've been going like 4 or 5 measures.
You don't understand the definition of rhythm or a beat. By definition, they are repetitive.
I don't disagree, and I will always defer to your knowledge and experience when it comes to the musical realm. It's not unusual for them to come in series of four. Okay. Great.
4 times.
Okay.
It doesn't have to follow that rule, but that is definitely not too much.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You've made a strong argument.
Beats are repetitious.
All right.
Repetitive? Repetitious? I don't know.
No, none of us know, Dan.
I don't know where you... I just don't know where you... You've asked one of those classic unanswerable questions. I just don't know where you get this whole, like, you play it a measure too long. It's just like, it boggles my mind.
Write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com and let us know your thoughts on whose mind ought or ought not be boggled.
I think we've both been victims of a practical joke.
All right. Here is the clip from last week.
Do you mind telling me what's going on here, crewman?
We're making dinner.
I see.
I really enjoyed that clip.
Major Kira is a woman.
But we did...
Jake!
Okay, we did not get a lot of guesses this week. Actually, we only got the one guess.
Have I ever told you that you smell wonderful?
I'm sure some of that is related to the summer break. Everyone's busy playing
I love you, Nerese.
Beach volleyball or evading sharks or maybe reading an Agatha Christie novel.
I'll fight for it if I have to.
On the beach or going to one of those adult-only resorts. Where it's meant to be, where people hook up and...
I think of you as a friend.
A lot of people do hook up, but then inevitably there's, you know... There's
the, discuss it with Major Kira. I'm not interested.
There's the people who don't hook up, and, you know, that's the problem. That's the risk of going to one of those all-inclusive sex resorts is like, what if you don't get picked for the dodgeball team?
Discuss it with Major Kira. I'm not interested.
She's being so snooty. I'm not interested.
All right, Dan and or Jesse, you have an opportunity now, if you so choose, to take that opportunity to make a guess as to where that sound clip was from.
No, thanks.
All right, Dan. Dan, I believe, has declined. Jesse, are you declining to guess?
No.
Honey?
No, you're not declining.
Did you hear what I said?
You're going to guess? Are you going to guess which episode?
Who are you talking to?
To Jesse, because I was like, Jesse, do you decline to guess? And he said no. But,
do you want me to do
it? I'm declining to guess.
But I think he means yes, he is declining to guess. Yes. All right, I'm glad we got that all sorted
totally.
Out. So
let's move along.
We had one guess this week.
Oh, God.
And it was Janet. Janet from Facebook says, this is from Voyager's Tuvix.
Ah.
Oh, shit.
I only recognized it because I happened to watch that episode after listening to your podcast. I even did the meme with Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the TV and everything. And she finishes the comment with, thanks, Agamas. So she beats you to the punch there.
Thanks, Agamas.
She can play it anyway.
Sorry about that.
So thank you, Janet. And Janet, you are 100% correct. That line was from the very famous episode, Tuvix. That's feedback at itsgotstartrek.com for all your comments, complaints, suggestions, what have you. So no news is good news. Where the hell have I heard that
before? What does Peldor Joy mean?
What the fuck do you think it means?
And then fucking this celebration goes on for 26 fucking hours?
I know, right?
That's how many hours are in a Deep Space Nine day.
No.
Yes?
That's how long the festival goes on. Hey, Dan, look at me. Physically look at me. Look what I'm doing, Dan. You're grabbing your butthole. I don't want to watch that. Stop grabbing your butthole.
No, I'm putting my foot down. I'm putting my foot down because Deep Space Nine has a 26-hour day.
You're putting your foot down because it helps get your finger up your butthole. I don't want to watch that.
Whoa.
I mean, everyone knows that Dan is joking, but it's you know, you're not.
I'm right. Not joking, Lee.
He's not wrong.
Idanian spice pudding.
Okay.
Dan's
like, okay, we've got 5 minutes left in the show.
Genuine Latin-inflated renewal scroll inscription pens.
Leave it to Quark to sort of monetize a religious sort of holiday.
Absolutely.
But Quark is uncharacteristic.
Cute.
O'Brien is so bummed out that Quark gives him a free inscription renewal thing.
It's an indicator of how serious the situation is with O'Brien.
Like Quark gives him a fucking free thing.
Chief O'Brien?
Yeah.
What you're feeling now is
I
just
love you. We need to see each other more often. I ever told you that you smell wonderful.
I'll fight for it if I have
Commander.
To.
You throw one hell of a party.
Oh, forget about him. What about me? I need you.
Discuss it with Major Kira. I'm not interested.
I think of you as a friend.
He can't keep his hands off me.
But Dad, you promised that Nerys would be here.
All right.
Jake!
Is it just one of those, like, you just want to push a bunch of buttons type situations?
Kind
of,
yeah.
That's fine.
Criticize it all you want.
What else about this episode? I don't want us to conclude the conversation.
Oh, Jake, how thoughtful. Thank you.
Stressing the fact that, as Jesse mentioned earlier, Avery Brooks directed this episode. And I think it's an extremely well-directed episode. There are so many great transitions that utilize the set very well.
Right,
where, like when Beryl is hitting on Jadzia at first is on the lower level of the, of the set. And then the camera rises up to Odo kind of doing a little jig and then
it does that several times.
It rises from the bottom, layering, going up and down, which was just a very nicely thought out shot.
At first when Odo was doing that jig, I thought he was affected by the thing, but that's just Odo dancing. He was getting down.
He was swaying.
Yeah. Odo's a
He was getting in. I like how by the end of the episode, Odo and Sisko don't even look like worried or stressed. They're just kind of resigned. They're just like looking at each other like, I don't fucking know what's going on, man. they're just like, this is fucking weird.
And
they're just like, I don't know, man.
It was good.
But Jake is pretty fucking selfish, man, because he was like feeling bad about Marta leaving him. But like Marta had like a great opportunity and all he can think about is how he's not going to be with her anymore. Yeah. But like she's going all the way to Regulus 3, which is like 100 light years away.
Because she got light years away.
She got some kind of awesome opportunity to do a thing there.
It mirrors the Chief O'Brien Keiko thing.
Chief O'Brien?
Dan, you know.
She got accepted to the Science Academy. Yeah, and like all he can think about is how he doesn't get to see her. Yeah. He's not like, good for her.
Well, because he's immature, unlike O'Brien. Well, O'Brien's acting a little immature too. Also, Dan, unfortunately, we do apologize to the audience. Dan did commit what is one of the most heinous of podcasting errors, which is allowing a computer error sound or WhatsApp.
He did.
When you any sort of notification, big no-no on podcasts. So we do apologize because I'm probably not going to bother trying to edit that out. Mm. Yeah. All right. Anything else to say about this episode? We said a lot of things about this episode, a lot of things not about this episode. I enjoy it. It's not an amazing episode, but for what it does, I think it was fun, well-directed, well-acted.
I feel like even though it wasn't like a super like awesome, amazing episode, and it was just kind of almost a throwaway, but it did have some nice messages about O'Brien and Keiko. Yeah. The time passed by quickly when I was watching it. There was like always something to keep my attention. Yeah. So I was never like kind of bored or anything like that.
And I think a lot of that is the direction of Avery Brooks, because it's a slight story.
He was probably responsible for Dax being like wagging her finger around when she did her finger. Remember when I was talking about her finger wag?
Dan, that is one thing I will never forget.
when she wagged her finger around?
I might forget that, but I will never forget. In fact, I have already forgotten that, but I won't forget you acting out her waving her finger around.
You tell him, Benjamin.
I honestly don't remember that from the episode.
She goes,
you tell him, Benjamin.
Imagine her wagging her finger when she says that.
You tell him, Benjamin.
I'm not remembering it. I'm imagining it.
You don't see her face. You just see her arm and hand pop up from behind Benjamin Sisko.
That sounds hilarious. That sounds great. I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm just maybe going to skip over the O'Brien parts.
In the end, they only break your heart.
Okay. Next week, we
meet me in the infirmary immediately.
We'll probably be doing like a Voyager episode next week. We'll let you know. We forgot all sorts of stuff.
I had some kind of software issues, last second software.
Dan had some software issues, and it's not a joke about his dick. Okay,
I'm not joking, Lee.
That would have been hardware.
Sabotage.
But yeah, we'll tell you on the social media and the website what we'll talk about next week, or just listen to the episode. It'll be fun anyway. All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye bye.
Whoa.
See you at the party.
Go back to Bajor and your plants and Sabar. See if I care.
This is one gratitude festival they'll be talking about for a long time.
Rock the Gino, extra sweet, macabre bread, no crust.
Go back to Bajor.
Commander, is that identity and spice putting you order?
I want to give this to you as a token of my affection.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh. Mariah, listen to me. I'll fight for her if I have to.
Oh, I'm sorry, Benjamin. He was just starting to annoy me.
Commander, you throw one hell of a party. Pudding, anyone? I've got Idanian spice pudding.